And then let's also work on some memory verses here. Let's go to Psalm 42, verses 1 through 3. Psalm 42, verses 1 through 3. And this is a new one, so why don't we go through this three times together. Psalm 42, 1 through 3. Well, let's see here. We'll start at the part as the heart. The rest of it is introductory, so as the heart panteth. So, Psalm 42, 1 through 3. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? Psalm 42, 1 through 3. Psalm 42, 1 through 3. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? Psalm 42, 1 through 3. Psalm 42, 1 through 3. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? Psalm 42, 1 through 3. Okay, let's do Habakkuk 3:18. Habakkuk 3:18. Okay, it's been a while since we've done this one, so let's go through this one three times as well. Habakkuk 3:18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk 3:18. Habakkuk 3:18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk 3:18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk 3:18. And then let's do John 17:17. And let's go through this one three times as well. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. Okay, then if we could go there to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Amen. And Pastor Jeremy, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Just thank you for that truth. I just ask you to speak to us with it. Thank you, Lord, for just being able to be reminded of all the other needs that our missionaries and others do have today, that we can come before your throne of grace. And Lord, find that comfort, find that strength, find that healing. Just pray, God, that you'd be honored through it now, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. So Paul was a missionary, and he was asking the church at Thessalonica to pray for him in three specific things. Number one, that the word of the Lord would have free course. Number two, that the word of the Lord would be glorified. And number three, that they would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. So let's center on that first point here for a few moments. Number one, that the word of the Lord would have free course. So I think of Brother Wall tonight in Haiti. As I mentioned, he has so much on his mind. His bride is back here suffering with this cancer of the blood. His son, Rick, has actually been diagnosed through his lab work of having it worse than Mrs. Wall. His blood work shows up even worse than hers. And so he has a record number of students signed up for Bible Institute, but he has all of this weighing on him tonight. So we need to pray for him. We need to pray that the word of the Lord would have free course there. It would be so hard to keep focused with what he is facing right now. If you hold your place here and look with me in Mark chapter 5, this same phrase, free course, in Mark 5, 6, is translated ran. So what we're talking in with all the, I think it appears, this phrase appears, I believe it's like 17 times in the scripture, and many times it's translated run or ran. So when he asked the people to pray for him that the word of the Lord would have free course, it reminds me of this passage here, and this is one of the passages where it's used. And we'll start with verse 1 to get the context here. Mark 5, 1. And I'm in Luke 5, so I better move here. Mark 5 and verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, what's the next word? Immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he what? Ran. That's the same word as free course. He ran and what? Worshipped him. So when we're asking God to help our missionaries that the word of the Lord would have free course, this is the idea right here, that when they give out the word of God, that people would, as we said in the earlier verses here, immediately, verse 2, when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him, this man. And so this is the idea, the praying for our missionaries that lost sinners would quickly, immediately run to Christ, not get entangled in the way, but quickly come to him. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and what? Worshipped him. And cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. So there's two things going on here. A lost sinner is using his free will to run to Jesus. But now don't be confused. Now the demon in him is speaking, because as we'll read, something happened a moment ago. I'll read verse 7 again. And cried with a loud voice, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he, Jesus, said unto him, what? Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. So as you read through this here, you might think that it was the demon running to Jesus to worship him. No, it was the man, his free will. He wants to come to Christ. And so when this man is running to Jesus, Jesus is the one that addresses the demon. He's the one, verse 8, that said, come out of the man. So verse 8, for he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. So it's Jesus addressing now the unclean spirit, the demon. That's why the demon is talking now. Verse 9, and he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are what? Many. So we see the wonderful truth here. You know, if some of our loved ones are just under demonic hold, you know what? Satan and the demons cannot stop someone from coming to Christ. What a wonderful thing when a person is willing to come to Christ and yield to Christ, the devil cannot stop them from doing so. So, as I mentioned in verse 2, this man immediately, when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. So this man immediately came to Jesus. So let's pray for our missionaries. The first time we went to Haiti, I remember there was a voodoo parade going on. We were headed to one of the churches, and voodoo is the national religion of Haiti. And there was these demonic, grotesque faces and masks parading down the road, looking at us and hating us. And it just kind of sends chills down your back when you think of these people that are worshiping Satan. So we need to pray. We need to pray that the word of the Lord would have free course, because even these people so steeped in voodoo, you know what? In their spirit, if they have the desire to come to Christ, the demons cannot stop them. Satan cannot stop them. So pray for Brother Wall down there, that just the word of the Lord would have free course, that people would just respond and respond quickly to the word of God. Pray for the Parfits. Remember them in prayer. That the Lord would help them. And of course, there's many prayers about getting to Papua New Guinea, but there's spiritism there. They need the same prayer. The Needhams over there, they need the same prayer. There's Catholicism there, and they need those people's eyes open. The Ronks, same thing there. The Shells, they have their state church, and it's so hard to break through to them. The Garamis dealing with the Muslims. The Snyders, Catholicism once again. So back in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, here's a missionary asking for prayer. What is his request? Number one, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have what? Free course. That nothing would stop these people from coming quickly to Christ. Number two, he asked for prayer that the word of the Lord would be glorified. In verse 1, once again, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be what? Glorified, even as it is with you. In this following passage we're going to look at in Acts 13, we see people in vicious opposition to the word of God. But we see other people ready to glorify the word. They love it. They love to hear it. And they want to hear it some more. And so here's a missionary saying, please pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course, that nothing would hinder it. And then please pray that the word of the Lord would be glorified, that people would respect it and honor it and see that it's true. And we need to pray that. So Acts 16:46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye," what?
Put it from you,
"and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to" who?
The Gentiles.
"For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." And when the Gentiles heard this, they were what? Glad. You see, the word of the Lord was glorified. The Gentiles had heard it. And it was glorified in their hearts and minds. And they were excited to hear that Paul was going to give it to them and preach and teach them. It was glorified in their hearts. And so the Jews, it was the opposite. They despised what they were hearing. They rejected what they were hearing. They were trying to twist the scripture, what they were hearing, and they weren't accepting it. The word of God wasn't glorified in their hearts, but it was in the Gentiles. Verse 48, once again, "And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and" what?
Glorified
what?
The word of the Lord.
So, as I said in the prayer, there were two people I saw that looked at us, and when they heard the scripture or the song, they just shook their heads. So with them, they're like the Jews. But there were a lot of other people that when they heard the word, it was glorified in their hearts. There were people, many people, singing along with us. There were other people that when the scripture was read, clapped at the end. They were happy. So verse 48, "When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." And the word of the Lord was what?
Published
throughout all the region. It's a blessing, and I probably should put more of the notes in the bulletin, but just it's such a blessing to receive letters from people that appreciate the gospel tracts and Bible courses. And we just recently got one from the Philippines, and he was kind of writing with no hope. He was saying, well, he said, could I just copy of the gospel literature? He says, probably I would never be able to receive any because I live in the Philippines. And I said, sir, we send Balik Bayan boxes of gospel literature to the Philippines. So I said, we'd be happy to send you the word of the Lord. So where the word of the Lord is glorified, the word of the Lord is published and handed out, and lost sinners can hear. So here's a missionary, Paul. He's asking the people at Thessalonica, please pray that the word of the Lord would have free course. Let's pray for our missionaries that on their field, that the world, the flesh, and the devil wouldn't be allowed to hinder just people from hearing the word of the Lord and immediately coming to Christ. And then he asked that the word of the Lord would be glorified, not doubted, not questioned, but glorified. That makes me think of Deuteronomy 4. You know, it's so sad that our nation is trying to mock and belittle the word of God and those who hold to it. You know, all these people that are clamoring for abortion, their real enemy is not us. It's the Bible. It's the word of God and the one who gave it, God. That's their real enemy. But look at this, what could be of America if it was like back with our forefathers. In Deuteronomy 4, verse 5, "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them. For this is your" what?
Wisdom.
"Wisdom, and your what?
Understanding
in the sight of who?
The nations.
Just think what America could be if we held to the Word of God as a nation instead of going right against it. It's like right now, it's like our government leaders, so many of them are trying to go exactly against what God says, just out of spite. God says, thou shalt not kill. They're ready to kill the most innocent among us, a baby in the womb. If God says the man shall not wear that which pertaineth to a woman, they're just bent on doing the exact opposite and calling us nasty names because we say that is wickedness and vile. They will not accept what God says. But if we held to what God said, people would respect America around the world. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this what?
Great nation
is a what?
Wise
and what? Understanding people. Just think of what, it's so sad. Our government is just so bent on going against the Word of God. Our school systems are so bent. The grade schools, K through 12, and the universities. I've read of university professors that in recent months have resigned their positions. They have come to the conclusion there is no hope for our state universities. No hope. It's just thoroughly indoctrinated with all of this sodomy and anti-God movement. Verse 7, for what nation is there so great? Who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so what?
Great.
That hath statutes and judgments so what?
Righteous
as all this law which I set before you this day. That's what America could be. That's what America was at one time. If you visit Washington, D.C., you will see the Word of God etched in granite or marble, whatever the case, all over Washington. The Scripture is etched in stone there. It just shows the drastic difference between our founding fathers and our leaders today. They're shaking their fist at God today. So we need to pray for our missionaries that the word of the Lord would have free course. Number two, that the word of the Lord would be glorified. Then let's go back to 2 Thessalonians 3. Paul had one other request in 2 Thessalonians 3, number 3, that they would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. In chapter 3, verse 2, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Unreasonable means not agreeable to reason. Irrational, in Webster's 1828 dictionary. We're looking at today an anger that is just irrational. It's just beyond scope. The apostles faced such people. Look in Acts 19. Acts 19. They didn't even understand why they were angry. They just knew that the crowd was angry, so they were angry. That's the problem with social media. People, they don't even have to take time to search out something. They just, you know, they're passed along something on social media and they're angry. And they don't even know why. In Acts 19:29. And the whole city was what?
Filled with confusion.
And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was what?
Confused.
And the more part what?
Knew not
wherefore they were come together. It's kind of like our senators and congressmen now when they vote on a bill. The more part, the majority of them have never read the bill. Who writes these things? If our own senators and congressmen have never read through it, who is writing these 5,000-page bills? It's not godly people, I'll tell you that. They're like these people. The more part have no clue what they're even doing. They just follow their party. They don't even know what they're doing. They don't even know what they're signing. They don't know what they're voting for. Verse 33. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward. And Alexander beckoned with a hand and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice, about the space of what?
2 hours. 2 hours,
cried out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." So they don't even know why they're there. The more part, the majority of them don't even know why they're there. They're just angry. They're angry because their friends are angry. And so for 2 hours, they cry out this, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." And they don't even know why they're doing that. They don't know why they have to do that. They don't know why they're there. You know, and in the last days, people are going to be so angry and out of control. 2 Timothy 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. You can see this today. It's just, you know, when I was in school, there was probably a couple boys that were like Nabal in the Bible. They were always looking for a fight. They were always mad, always angry about something. No one really had to cross them. They were just looking for a fight. That's what the end times are going to be like. Look in verse 1, 2 Timothy 3:1. "This know also that in the last days," what?
Perilous
"times shall come." Have you read about all of the elderly people that are being beat up in cities? Young people are just beating up old people, and sometimes they're dying. What is wrong? It's this irrational hatred. "Perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." And then verse 5 tells you that some of them even claim to be religious. It says, "having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." That's what the last days are going to be like. And so Paul was asking as a missionary that we would pray, and that the people at Thessalonica would pray, that the word of the Lord would have free course, that people would quickly respond to it, and Satan would not be allowed to come along and snatch the seed out of their hearts. Number 2, that the word of the Lord would be glorified. We see the Jews, they didn't glorify the word of God, but the Gentiles, they wanted to hear it. And number 3, that they would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. So let's pray for our missionaries. Brother Needham sent me a picture. Actually, it's in the prayer list. He sent me a picture. He's on his tractor. He still has an old tractor. For those of you who don't remember or didn't know, Brother Needham was a farmer before he became a missionary. And so he still has some property out there. And in one of the sheds, he still has a tractor. And I think it's an Alice Chalmers, I think. I'm sorry for you green and yellow guys. So he got the tractor out, and it was on it, and he had somebody take a picture, and he sent it to me. And he said, my brother still has 60 acres here. He says, I could farm, but he said something like, I'm planting seed elsewhere right now. So he's on that tractor, but he's planting some much more important seed, the word of the Lord. And so let's pray for our missionaries, that the word of the Lord would have free course, that people would respond quickly, that the word of the Lord would be glorified, that people on their fields would be hungry and thirsty to hear the word of God, and that they would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, because they are everywhere. But we need to pray that they would be delivered from them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Father, I pray that you would help us to pray for our missionaries, like Paul asked his people to pray for him. Lord, I pray that you would bless the walls on their field, and especially help Brother Wall right now with his bride so sick. And just bless them. Give them both the peace of God that passes all understanding. Lord, be with Brother Shoal in the boat. We know that sometimes lost people try to swindle the saved. And Lord, please give Brother Shoal wisdom. And Lord, give him a good boat that could be used for many years getting the gospel to villages. Lord, we think of Brother Needham right now as his plane is being flown to Washington to get this extra gas tank installed. And I pray that you would help them on the insurance part of it. I pray that you would just bless the trip to the far country, Lord. Help it to run well, protect the pilots. Father, I pray that you would be with the Ronks. Lord, bless them. Some of their people there are sick and they're panicking, afraid that COVID is making another round. Lord, help them to rest in you. Lord, we think of the Snyders in Honduras. That you'd help them as they labor there. Help them to get the well drilled and to be able to get a cement mixer to get the work done. We pray for Reese and Stacy, Lord, that you would bless them. Help Sister Stacy, expecting a little one, Lord. Help her through this time. I pray you give them a healthy baby. And give them wisdom, Lord, where to locate when baby is ready to come. Give them wisdom there and peace. We think of the Garamies right now in California and the Missions Conference. Lord, that you would bless them. We thank you for just how you're using him to reach so many Muslims. And Lord, bless them, Lord. Help Emily, Lord, with the three little ones. I know she's very busy, has a lot on her hands. Lord, please give her the strength that she needs there. Lord, bless each of our missionaries, we pray. And Father, if there should be any here tonight that have never yet been saved, I pray tonight that the word of the Lord would have free course in their hearts, that nothing would hinder them, not Satan, not the demons, not pride, not trusting in good works, not trusting in baptism, not trusting in tradition, but Lord, may the word of the Lord have free course in their hearts. Help them to realize that it's only Jesus, the Son of God, who can wash away their sins by the precious blood he shed on the cross. Father, I pray that you would help us to live for you. Lord, I pray for us in the same way. Lord, help us here that the word of the Lord may have free course right here in Greenville. Lord, I pray that the word of the Lord would be glorified right here in Greenville. Lord, I pray that we would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men who are right here in Greenville. Lord, we need the same help. So strengthen us, encourage us, and use us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.